Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Indian Railways has achieved a staggering 99.2% network electrification, with 69,427 out of 70,001 route kilometers now electrified, making it one of the highest electrification rates globally. First, let's look at the key statistics. The remaining 574 kilometers of unelectrified tracks are spread across five states: Assam, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Rajasthan, and Goa. Since 2014, an impressive 46,900 kilometers of railway tracks have been electrified, with 25 states now fully electrified. The pace of electrification has increased significantly, from 1.4 kilometers per day between 2004 and 2014 to 15 kilometers per day between 2019 and 2025. This is an 11-fold increase, demonstrating the government's commitment to reducing carbon emissions and promoting sustainable transportation. What makes this significant is that Indian Railways has also made substantial progress in integrating renewable energy into its operations. The solar capacity on railways has increased from 3.68 megawatts in 2014 to 898 megawatts, a 244-fold increase. This not only reduces the carbon footprint of the railways but also contributes to India's national goal of becoming a net zero emissions economy. Now, let's turn to another important development. The Adani Group has commenced the construction of the 570-megawatt Wangchu hydropower project in Bhutan, a runoff river project located on the Wangchu River. This project is a joint venture between the Drig Green Power Corporation, Bhutan's state power utility, and Adani Power Limited, with an investment of 6,000 crore rupees. The project is expected to generate 570 megawatts of electricity, which will be sold to India, further strengthening the India-Bhutan bilateral relationship in the energy sector. Building on this, it's worth noting that Bhutan is India's largest hydropower export partner, with a bilateral target of achieving 10,000 megawatts of hydropower generation under the India-Bhutan Energy Agreement. The Sutlej Jal Vidyut Nigam, an Indian public sector undertaking, has been leading most of the government-funded hydropower projects in Bhutan, while the Drig Green Power Corporation is Bhutan's state power utility. The India-Bhutan Friendship Treaty, signed in 1949 and revised in 2007, provides for Indian financing of Bhutan's development projects, including hydropower generation. And here is something that surprises many students: the Bhutanese currency, the Engultrum, is pegged one-to-one to the Indian rupee, highlighting the close economic ties between the two countries. Hydroelectric power generation is a significant contributor to Bhutan's economy, accounting for approximately 25-30% of the country's GDP. Now, let us look at the GenCSR's breakthrough in creating the world's first computational simulation of the MPMBA effect, a counterintuitive thermodynamic phenomenon where hot water can freeze faster than cold water under certain conditions. This effect was first observed by Erasto MPMBA, a Tanzanian secondary school student, in 1969, while making ice cream. The GenCSR team built a mathematical computational model that reproduces and explains the MPMBA effect under defined conditions, providing a theoretical framework that resolves decades of scientific controversy. The Jawaharlal Nehru Center for Advanced Scientific Research, or GenCSR, is an autonomous research institution and deemed university located in Bengaluru, Karnataka. It was established in 1989 under the Department of Science and Technology, Government of India, and focuses on research in condensed matter physics, materials science, chemistry, neuroscience, ecology, and theoretical sciences. Now, let us turn to the Bureau of Indian Standards, or BIS, which has launched the SHINE scheme, or Standards Help Inform and Nurture Empowered Women, to train women through partnerships with NGOs and self-help groups on quality standards and consumer rights. The purpose of this scheme is to empower women as informed consumers and quality advocates, linking them to India's formal standards ecosystem. The BIS is an autonomous standards body under the BIS Act, 2016, which replaced the BIS Act, 1986. It operates under the Ministry of Consumer Affairs, Food and Public Distribution and is responsible for framing Indian standards, product certification, including the ISI mark, gold and silver hallmarking, and consumer awareness programs. India is a member of the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO, and the International Electrotechnical Commission, or IEC. Moving on to the Melghat Tiger Reserve in Maharashtra, which was in the news for wildlife conservation updates. The reserve is located in the Gavilgan Hills, a southern offshoot of the Satpura Range, and is distinguished as the first tiger reserve established in Maharashtra. It is one of the original 9 tiger reserves under Project Tiger, launched in 1973, and is home to a diverse range of wildlife, including Bengal tigers, leopards, sloth bears, wild dogs, and Indian giant squirrels. The reserve is also significant for its river ecosystem, being the catchment area for 5 tributaries of the Tapti River. The Bombay Natural History Society recently released 15 critically endangered Indian vultures at the reserve, a major conservation milestone, as the Indian vulture population had collapsed by over 99% since the 1990s due to diclofenac poisoning. Now, let us look at the Indian Army, which has declared 2026 as the Year of Networking and Data Centricity, with a focus on digital battlefield transformation. The Chief of Army Staff, General Upendra Dwivedi, has emphasized the importance of network-centric warfare, which links sensors, decision-makers, and weapon platforms through a unified communications network for superior battlefield awareness. The Indian Army's previous theme was the Year of Technology Absorption in 2024-25. The core concept of network-centric warfare is to integrate systems such as the Battlefield Management System, Tactical Communication System, and Army Tactical Telecom Node, with strategic alignment and integration with theater commands and joint data sharing across the Army, Air Force, and Navy. Now, let us turn to the Guinea presidential election, where Mamady Doumbouya won with 86.72% of the vote, securing a 7-year mandate. Doumbouya came to power through a military coup in September 2021, overthrowing President Alpha Conde, who had controversially extended his term. Guinea is a significant country for India, as it holds the world's largest bauxite reserves, and India imports substantial quantities of bauxite from Guinea for aluminum production. The Economic Community of West African States, or ECOWAS, has imposed sanctions on several coup-affected member states in the region. The West African coup wave between 2020 and 2023 has seen military coups in Mali, Guinea, Burkina Faso, and Niger, highlighting the challenges of democratic backsliding and military intervention in the region. Now, let us look at the discovery of 3 new meadow katydid species in Jammu and Kashmir. The species Conocephalus usmani, Conocephalus nigeriensis, and Conocephalus gandharbali belong to the order Orthoptera, which is related to grasshoppers and crickets. Katydids are acoustic insects and important indicators of grassland ecosystem health, and their discovery adds to Jammu and Kashmir's documented biodiversity. India has been recording a high pace of new species discovery annually in recent years, highlighting the country's rich biodiversity. The discovery of these new species is significant, as it underscores the importance of conservation efforts and the need to protect India's natural habitats. Now, let us turn to World Braille Day, which is observed on 4th January, the birth anniversary of Louis Braille, who invented the Braille script in 1824 at the age of 15. The day marks the importance of accessible communication systems for people with visual impairments. India's first Braille library was established at the Dr. Shakuntala Mishra National Rehabilitation University in Lucknow, marking a significant milestone in promoting accessibility and inclusivity. The Rights of Persons with Disabilities Act, 2016, expanded the categories of disabilities from 7 to 21 and mandated 5% reservation in government jobs and educational institutions. India ratified the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in 2007 and launched the Accessible India campaign in 2015 to promote physical infrastructure and digital accessibility. Now, let us look at the HDFC Bank's integration of the RBI's Digital Rupee into its Smart Gateway merchant platform. The Digital Rupee, or E, is India's central bank digital currency, which functions like a digital version of cash, stored in digital wallets and backed one-to-one by the RBI. The integration of the Digital Rupee into the Smart Gateway platform allows for zero transaction costs for merchants and intermediary-free settlement, making it an attractive option for digital payments. The Digital Rupee pilot was launched in November 2022, and its integration into the Smart Gateway platform marks a significant milestone in promoting digital payments and financial inclusion. The RBI's Digital Rupee is distinct from the Unified Payments Interface, or UPI, as it does not require a bank account, making it more accessible to a wider range of users. Now, let us turn to the release of 55 scholarly literary works in classical and major Indian languages by Union Minister Dharmendra Pradhan. The works, which include books in Kannada, Telugu, Malayalam, Orhya, Tamil, and Indian Sign Language, were published by the Central Institute of Indian Languages and the Central Institute of Classical Tamil. The release of these works highlights the importance of promoting India's linguistic diversity and preserving its rich cultural heritage. The classical language status in India is conferred on languages that have a rich literary and cultural heritage, with at least 1,500 to 2,000 years of ancient texts and literature. Currently, India has 6 classical languages, Tamil, Sanskrit, Kannada, Telugu, Malayalam, and Orhya, with Pali, Prakrit, Marathi, Bengali, and Assamese recently added to the list. Now, let us look at the DRDO's 68th Foundation Day, which was celebrated on 1st January 2026. The Defense Research and Development Organization, or DRDO, was founded in 1958 and is responsible for the development of India's defense systems. The DRDO chairman, Dr. Samir Veer Kamath, inaugurated the celebrations, which were marked by major procurement announcements, including 22 acceptances of necessity worth approximately 1.30 lakh rupees crore and 11 defense contracts worth 26,000 crore rupees. The DRDO's focus areas include cyber warfare, space, and artificial intelligence, with an emphasis on indigenous development and self-reliance in defense production. The organization has made significant contributions to India's defense capabilities, including the development of the Pinaka multi-launch rocket system, which has been upgraded with 80% indigenous content. Now, let us turn to the Pakistan Air Force's successful test of the Taimur air-launched cruise missile, which has a range of approximately 600 kilometers and is designed to operate at very low altitudes, evading radar detection and air defense systems. The Taimur missile is a significant addition to Pakistan's military capabilities, extending its standoff strike capability and posing a challenge to India's air defense systems. India has a multi-layered air defense system, including the S-400 Triumph acquired from Russia and the indigenous Akash surface-to-air missile. The country is also developing its own cruise missile program, including the BrahMos and Nirbhay missiles, which have ranges of approximately 900 kilometers and 1,000 kilometers, respectively. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The MPMBA effect is a phenomenon where hot water can freeze faster than cold water under certain conditions, first observed by Erasto MPMBA in 1969. The GenCASR has created the world's first computational simulation of this effect. The Wangchu Hydropower Project is a 570-megawatt runoff river project located on the Wangchu River in Bhutan, developed by the Drig Green Power Corporation and Adani Power Limited. The India-Bhutan Hydropower Cooperation has a bilateral target of achieving 10,000 megawatts of hydropower generation. The Bishine scheme aims to train women on quality standards and consumer rights. The Melhat Tiger Reserve is located in the Gavilgan Hills, a southern offshoot of the Satpura Range, and is home to a diverse range of wildlife. The Guinea presidential election was won by Mamady Doumbouya, who secured a 7-year mandate. The Indian Railways has achieved 99.2% network electrification, with 69,427 kilometers of tracks electrified. The HPCL LC Max facility is the world's first residue upgradation plant, located at the Visakhapatnam refinery, with an investment of 31,407 crore rupees. The HDFC Bank has integrated the RBI's digital rupee into its Smart Gateway merchant platform, allowing for zero transaction costs for merchants and intermediary-free settlement. The DRDO has celebrated its 68th Foundation Day, marked by major procurement announcements, including 22 acceptances of necessity worth approximately 1.30 lakh crore rupees. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? The topics covered in this episode, including Indian Railways electrification, hydropower cooperation with Bhutan, the MPMBA effect, and the digital rupee, are all relevant to the GS2 and GS3 papers of the UPSC examination. The importance of network-centric warfare, cyber warfare, and artificial intelligence in defense systems is also a key aspect of the GS3 paper. In conclusion, the developments covered in this episode highlight the significance of India's infrastructure development, scientific research, and defense modernization, as well as its bilateral relationships with neighboring countries like Bhutan. These topics are crucial for UPSC aspirants to understand, as they are closely related to the GS2 and GS3 papers of the examination.